Hallelujah. We want to welcome all our thousands of guests and family, and we appreciate, hallelujah, that they've opened up the overflow. Thank you, honey. They opened up the overflow for us over there, and we appreciate that. Hallelujah. As Billy Graham used to say at the end of the service, your buses will wait for you. We have time. The bus that brought you will wait for you. Hallelujah. So we worship you, Jesus. Well, we had a good time Sunday. And I want to remind you in advance that we are going to take up, which we never do, a second offering on Sunday to bless Africa. You may never go there. I don't know if I'll go there again. Maybe. I don't know. But we can go there. We can go there with our giving. And so I'm asking you to pray, and we may just show that again, that short 5-minute segment, so people can see what they have the opportunity. Hallelujah. And I thank God, because missions is a very, very important part of being able to share God's heart in the earth. And we really very rarely present something like this. So, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Well, I think I know where we're going, but these are kind of more or less Holy Ghost, as Kenneth Hagin used to say, Holy Ghost meetings, Jesus meetings. And we're going to receive more and more of those as the days go on. But I guess if I had a place where we should start, it would be 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And what we're going to do is we're just going to talk some more about where we were at last week concerning the deep groanings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to start over in chapter 4 in just a moment, but let's pray. Hallelujah. And you'll agree with me and you'll pray for me, I believe. So, Father, we worship you. We glorify you and praise you. Give you all the praise. We thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. And you're right in the center aisle and you're walking up and down, ministering to our hearts and minds and those that are watching. We give you all the praise for that. We thank you for another step towards the outpouring and the glory that you've given us. We thank you that we'll be able to share that and express that in great days, in the great days ahead. And we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before we start, and we do have a prophecy, maybe the one that came last week concerning this very subject. Maybe we'll get that out to you in just a little bit, but I'm just going to follow. The subject that we're talking about specifically is praying in tongues, but isolating it down to the fourth diversity of praying in tongues, which is the tongue of edification that extends itself over to the deep groanings of the Spirit. And before I go into the Word, I just want to reiterate some things by experience. And maybe you could share your own experience, and it would be just as powerful. But on this walk that we're on, it really does have a progression. It really does. The Lord's had me on this progression, I guess. I was thinking about today. I don't know why it came up. I guess he was bringing it up. But how that the progression of getting to the place of understanding what he's called me for and what he's called you for, because your calling is just as important. But I just as sure as I'm standing here, I'm just with no makeup of trying to make this anything more than it really was, but I remember about 7 years old living We lived off of Homestead Road. We had a little tiny house, just 2-bedroom, 1 bath. There was no garage, just a little carport. And I was the oldest child, but I don't think I was the only child at that time. I must have been about 7. So my little Deanne, which was about 4.5 years younger, so she was little thing. But I don't know how old I was, but I do remember I had my own little bedroom. And I think maybe Deanne's, I don't know where she slept, maybe over close to mom and dad in their room. But just as sure as I'm standing here, just as sure as I'm living and breathing, I heard an audible voice. I mean, just like Rex would talk to me or Harry would talk to me. And I was laying there in bed and he said, "Bronk." And it didn't scare me as a little kid. And it sounded like it was in the room or just outside my window. But it sounded like it was at a distance. But he was calling and he would call my name. And he did that 2 or 3 times. And I remember that happened a few times. And then one time I went and told my mom, I said, "Mama, did you call me?" And she goes, "No, I didn't say anything, son," because she was still up. I thought maybe she was in the living room watching. I said, "Did you call me?" She goes, "No, I didn't." Well, this happened, I don't know, 2 or 3 times about that season of my life where I heard that audible voice. And then later when I got born again, spirit-filled, and kept going forward into what I believe God called me to, there was a man came to our church. We were going to an open Bible church, and he called me forward. He prophesied over me, and he said, "You're going to learn." He said, "You're going to be taught of man, and then you'll be taught of God." Well, it came to pass. I went away to Bible college, and Candy and I got married just before we went away to Bible college. And Bible college, though it was a spirit-filled Bible college, it was probably one of the closest things that ever happened to me to help try to wreck my faith. Watch out for Bible colleges. I don't know that there's not one that I can recommend except Jim Martin's online. And so I went away, and we went away for 4 years, and it was an accredited school. And they produced teachers as well, like high school teachers and stuff. So you could get, now they're a university, you can get every kind of, all kinds of degrees. I don't think you can get a medical or a lawyer's degree, but you can get all kinds of stuff from there. But you can tell they've gotten quite secular. But that's neither here nor there. But I came back after 4 years, and even though it was a spirit-filled school, you know, you go through classes and you sit there with the guys that can read the Greek and they can, like, speak the Greek or speak Hebrew, and they're real smart. And some of them was really good men, really, really nice, and they loved the Lord. And they believed in tongues, but they didn't teach it like we teach it, like you could speak in tongues anytime you want to. So I came back. Candy and I came back, and we had our first child, and she was born like the last, just before I graduated. We went back, and I finished that last semester with our first child there in that little tiny apartment. And then we came back to Fort Myers and started helping out in the church, but I was trying to figure out what was God's plan for my life. At 22 years old, I think, the presbyter sent me over here to Immokalee to the Assembly of God church. And I don't know what I preached. God only knows what I preached that day. Barbara, don't know. This was for Roberson or any. And I mean, I don't know what I preached. But the guy took me to, there was a steakhouse then on First Street. I don't know what that building is now. But he took me after lunch, and he was the head elder, and I don't even know if he's still alive or around. And he said, "We took a straw poll." You know what a straw poll is? They don't, it's not an official vote, but they just like give you the nod. And he said, "We took a straw poll. You got the pastorate if you want the pastorate." And He'd already bought me a big steak, and I'd ate it, so I didn't want to say no then. So I'll call you. Let me go pray about this. I'll call you. And God said, I didn't come to Immokalee too much back then. The only time I ever came to Immokalee, my granddad, Dylan, some of you knew him, he'd bring me down to Lake Trafford. That's back when you could wade in the lake. You could wade it, and it was clear. The water was really clear. And there was very few gators because the old timers kept them pretty well killed out. You'd see some big ones, but they were scared of you. Now they're not scared of you now. I wouldn't wade for nothing in the world. And we'd brim fish, and you could see right the beds because it was so clear. You could just see it. You can't see nothing now. That's the only time I'd come to Immokalee growing up. I didn't know what Immokalee was. But I turned that day when that man asked me to come back and pastor. I turned that day on Highway 82 off of 29. And we worked down there probably about where the hotel's at, that hotel that's on. And Candy, I'm sure, didn't hear it. This was, but it was almost audible. To me, it really was almost audible. And he said to me, I did this peace. She made, I don't know, I don't even know if I told her at the time, but a peace came in there like I was in another realm. And he said, you're not to take this pastorate. You're not to take it. But one day you'll come back to Immokalee and pastor. I said, okay. But I didn't really ever have any ambition to come to Immokalee. He intercepted me. But that was... I was probably only 22 then, but when I came back, Candy and I moved into a little a duplex in East Fort Myers. After we'd stayed with Mom and Dad a little bit, but then we had to, you know, get a place of our own. We moved in a little duplex, and Amber was just a little baby, little thing, and my mom was teaching at First Assembly in Fort Myers. And I'd come back, and of course, I just out of Bible college, graduated in 82, but I might have had to go back and walk the line in 83, I'm not sure. But of course, I knew everything. I just knew everything. You know, you couldn't tell me anything. I knew everything. And some of the faith teachers, we had a cults class and it was taught by a doctor, and as far as I know, a wonderful lady, but she threw in by the end of the, you know, when you get a bunch of discussion going by intellectuals, they'll finally put everybody in there. They had Hagen and Copeland and everybody kind of mixed up in. So when I come out, I was messed up a little bit. I didn't know Dave Roberson or anything. I was messed up a little bit. And Mom came to me or called me or said something one day. She said, the ladies' Bible study would like to, they would like to raise enough money, or they would give you together the money for you to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kenneth Hagin is having a summer camp meeting. Well, there was Kenneth Hagin. Some of you don't know who T.O. Osborne was. But my God, just an apostle of God. He's going to be with the Lord now. There was Copeland and Savelle and Price, and I don't know, maybe Charles Capps. And I thought, you know, I don't know, because I know everything anyway. I don't know that I need to go hear these guys, because I just, you know, I just got a bachelor's degree that you could just, I don't know what you could cast out with it or who you could get healed. But I said, okay, I'll pray about it, or I'll think about it. And so I came home one day, and that was right after that, and I'd oftentimes go in there and pray in our mine and Candy's bedroom, and Amber would be playing stuff. Well, I thought I'm going to go in there and ask him about this, about going to Tulsa. And I think it was probably the early, like 82, 83, 80, right in there. And Gary Carpenter said he was at the same conference, but we never met each other, which was really cool. But I'll never forget it. I knelt down next to our bed, mine and Candy's bed. And just as sure as I'm living and breathing, I'm just as honest as I can possibly be. I've knelt down. As soon as I knelt down, I said, "Father, about this Tulsa thing that these ladies want to send me to Tulsa." And as sure as I'm living and breathing in the house of God, there was an audible, absolute audible, just like a man was standing right behind me. And again, I don't know how those supernatural things work. I don't know if you were in the room, if you heard it or didn't hear. I don't know. But to me, most everything he speaks nowadays is, you know, we all say God, we heard God's voice. We hear it inside. Okay. But I mean, this is like, right, I'm here and somebody's standing right here. And he says, "I know about it and I'm the one sending you." So what do you do with that? I come out and told Candy, I heard an audible voice. God just spoke to me. Well, that's when he began to set me free. I went and got free and sat there and said, "Oh my God, this is it. This is it. As far as when I saw Kenneth Hagin and heard him, and I realized that my cults class was a cult. My cults class was a cult. And so that started me on the journey. And I think when I started listening to his tapes and reading his books, and then I understood about what he began to say about, because he would teach on the deep groanings before I ever heard Pastor Dave. And he would talk about times that he would go into the Spirit. There was times in his ministry where he'd go out so far out in the Spirit that they'd lead him out. They'd just have to lead him out. And he'd just be miracles taking place, but he'd be praying in tongues. I heard him say one time, he said, "One time I got so far out there, they brought me home and they sit me down. I just kept praying in tongues. And he said, I was thinking inside myself, I was out there so far. He goes, I was kind of worried. Will I ever get back? I don't know if I'll ever get back. But of course, you will. You don't have to fear that. But he talked about the deep groanings of the Spirit. And I began to hear that. And he would talk about times where he would go in and he would just be praying, and then God would switch him over and he would change situations. That's the first preacher I ever heard talking about being able to change situations. Well, last week I shared with you some personal experiences you could probably share with me, but how that the tongue of edification, which is one of the four diversities, if you give yourself over to it enough, and he can purge enough in your life to bring you to a place of authority, then he's able at times to step over. You're able to step over, and he will bring a place of an anointing that supersedes anything that you're regularly accustomed to. Now, don't get me wrong. Your 1 Corinthians 14:2 tongue of edification is working the plan of God. It really is. It's building you up on your most holy faith, Jude 20. And it's causing you an edification process in which he's changing your life. And there is a slight level of intercession in that. Your edification has some intercession in it. But then there's an advancement at times, not that you can control it, but you can also be prepared for it by seasoning yourself. And I said some things last week, and the first time, and that I can remember, I don't know, may have happened prior, was when I was at that same apartment sitting there, and I was just working away, and then the tongue come on me, and I was like, Candy wasn't there. She had taken Amber so I could go study, and I was like, my God, what is this? And it just took me over, and of course, you got to yield to it. The Holy Spirit, he never pushes. He always asks for permission, but if you give him permission, he'll use you. And it didn't last 10 minutes, but when it was over, it was over, and then I wasn't trying to copy. Honest to God, wasn't trying to copy Kenneth Hagin, but I remember what he talked about that hilarious laughter, and I started getting that. I thought, my God, I wonder what this is. Well, within, I can't remember, so that's been like 30 years ago or more, but it seemed like it was in a minute. The phone rang, and I got the phone, and it was my mom. Your sister's been in a horrible accident, and cars flipped, and I said, I know. And she goes, you know? I said, yes, ma'am. The last 10 minutes, the Holy Ghost come on me, and I prayed this thing through, and she's going to live. And I told you about that. She lived, and everything was fine. Then there was two or three other occasions. I talked about the time that Davy looked like she broke. I can't say. We didn't have it. I mean, once it was x-rayed, it was fine. She looked like she broke her ankle. But then the Holy Ghost came on me in the car. There was a time where Candy had miscarried the baby after Amber and between Amber and Davy. And then Davy was a miracle because something happened and Candy lost a lot of that embryonic fluid, and that's not good. And then, and of course, when I'm telling these stories, that has nothing absent from the fact and truth that, you know, I have a wonderful partner that was praying as well, and she's had her times where the Lord would come on her. But I remember going to that, now we were out of that duplex, now we're in a house on the river in Fort Myers, and going there and just my heart, I had the heart of like, we can't lose the second baby because we'd lost that one. And so my heart was hurting, but you can't force something like that. And here it came. Here he comes. I'm like, oh, you can feel it. I could feel it. So what do? You give way to it. And it's like I won't try to demonstrate it because I couldn't falsify it. I couldn't even imitate it. But it's like your tongue goes to another place. And there's an intercession. And there was an intercession that took place. And I was laying there. And then it lasted 15 minutes or something. It was really amazing. And then it was over. And then when it was over, I knew, okay, it doesn't really matter. Now it's all right. We're going to have that baby. That baby's all right. So there's a demonstration of the glory of God. Several times. So many times I told you about the incident that took place at the church and how that God defused something that was really chaotic, and he just diffused it, and just like that, and something came on me, and so there was people calling, and they were all upset, and they arrived here in vans, and then I was like, I don't know what to do with this, so I started praying at my house. Here he comes. Well, when he comes like that, I knew to give myself over to it. But what I'm describing here is not my experience is for you to say, wow, that's a pretty amazing, Pastor. This is for all of us. But the preparation for it is in a place where you give yourself over to a place where he can come and prepare a ground that is, it's not that it has to be worthy for, it has to be prepared spiritually. 25 years ago, I bet you, my dad had a cyst on the lower lobe, I think on his left side of his brain. We took him to, they found it, took him to Shands in Gainesville, which is the top university in the state, and some will tell you maybe it's in as far as medical. We have the best surgeons in Florida, the best, the very best, because that's where everybody comes, you know, to retire. And so they said they said it was a tumor. Now they misdiagnosed it, but it was a cyst. But I think it might have been a tumor, but it got healed. And but he still had the operation. In the middle of the night, the operation was a success, but they had a spinal tap on him to equalize, I guess, the brain pressure or however that works. Well, the spinal tap came out, and the nurses didn't notice it for maybe a few hours. I don't know how that worked. We followed the proper, what we knew is to love and forgive, and could have been huge, huge legal suits. But they admitted it. It came out and they didn't notice it. Well, all the fluid, a lot of fluid drained out, and he went into seizures, and it affected his brain temporarily. And then they called us and told us, this is not good. So it looked like things were not going to work real good. I mean, it was life and death. So we were trading turns sitting with him. And then I went back to the room, the hotel room, and again, by myself. And I began to pray because I knew it was kind of life and a death. You'll be glad. Let me tell you something. And I know that you realize this. You'll be glad in midnight hours of your life that you are faithful to the tongue of edification, so that at times he can switch you over to the tongue of intercession. You'll really be glad. You'll really be, because you'll be like, okay, time in the saddle was worth this. Because a lot of times you can save people's lives and change things. Well, that thing, excuse me, Lord. He came on me, Holy Ghost came on me, and I just, 20, 30 minutes. And then that hilarious, like, you can't put this on. You can't, in fact, you can't put it on, and you're not putting on when nobody else is in the room watching you. You're not showing off when nobody's there. But then I knew it was all right, and he did recover. He lived. He lived. Hallelujah. I knew a woman one time that had an abusive marriage. And abusive and all kinds of infidelity. And she had the right to divorce. But there was such a, you know, such a connection. It was hard for her. Then she began to build herself up in the Holy Ghost in the midst of all the junk that was going on. And one day God came on her. And when he came on her for about 30 minutes or so, or 10 minutes, I don't know how, I can't remember what she said. But she, that tongue of intercession came on her. And she began to pray these deep groanings of the Spirit. And once it was over, it was over. She got the hilarious laughter. And she was free. She was free, and she was totally free to walk away. Sometimes it's God's mind for somebody to walk away. But when they don't have the strength to walk away, but here's the amazing part. What 30 million, I don't know, that's it. What hundreds of hours of marriage counseling or psychological analytical kind of, which would have never been able, the Holy Ghost in just 10 minutes reaches down, pulls roots right out, and shakes them off, and you go, my God, my God, my God, I am so free. And this person was so free that she didn't even feel any hard feelings at the person that she was able to walk away free from. Only God. Only God. Well, does this exist for us? Yes, it does. But what excites me is this. I don't know if we'll get to our scripture. What excites me is this. If it could work on a personal level. If it could work like me testifying of those things, or you testifying, what could it do for a man or woman that was an intercessor who could step over occasionally for a bit into that realm that they stood between heaven and earth and made intercession for a region? It would have the same effect. It would have the absolute same effect. He's called some in the church the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, workings of miracles, gifts of healings. That's the fivefold. Helps and governments. And then the last of all, diversity of tongues. Because the diversity of tongues is the fire starter, as Pastor Dave would describe. It's the one beginning with the tongue of edification, builds you up and builds you up. It has the capacity then at times to switch you over to stand in the gap. Yes, thank God for all these personal, everything I told you was pretty much personal kinds of individual testimonies. This changed, that changed. Every single time, there was a change. There was an absolute. It was like I never got surprised about, like, I don't know why I never saw the results. I mean, I saw every single time. That's a half a dozen times at least that I can think of. And then a whole lot more that I've forgotten, because that's happened to me many times, many times. But what if we stay in here long enough and hang in here long enough? Hallelujah. Pastor, yes, I am called to governments. Wonderful. Let's start at the top. Pastor, I'm called as the mighty apostle. Wonderful. Wonderful. Mighty apostle. I'm called as a prophet. Wonderful, mighty prophet. Male, female. I'm a teacher. Glory to God. Thank you. Wonderful. But if the glory is not coming up from the bottom, if the power to change is not in your teaching or in your prophesying or in your doctrine, and if there's not a tangible, oh my God, change. See, that's what we're after, change. I'm called to helps. Wonderful. Listen, make your million. I appreciate it. Make your million. Give it. Wonderful. But I'm not really as nearly concerned about you making us a million as I am you walking in a place where you have the authority in the Spirit to allow intercession to come up from a place. Churches with a $1 million in the bank or a dime a dozen. There's millions of them, or thousands of them. They've got somebody paying churches with 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 million. They're dimes a dozen. They're all over the place. But where's the power? Where's the power? Governments. I believe in, perfection of ministry. I like everything done properly and in order, because we show the glory of God when everything is. I like it when it turns out good too. a lot of stuff around here doesn't get taken care of as soon as we think we should. But it's okay, because what we're after is encouraging you to go in there and stay in there. Stay in there. Stay in there, because what we want, I've been to government. Pastor Dave. You know, when Pastor Dave was on his game, there was nobody like him. He caught everything. He just caught everything. And he could correct you and you didn't even know it until later. He was like, hey, hey, he's getting on me. I come in one time. You've heard this story, but I got to tell it again. I drove my S10 Chevy. It's a little sewing machine. I mean, man, real men don't get caught in that. Yeah. But I drove it up to a place out of state that I was invited to, and they were just wonderful people, absolutely. And they had, oh my God. It was so, I never had the experience like this. So I was a little embarrassed to pull that thing in the back parking lot, because they met me with a number of guys at the door. And it was so neat. And I'd never been treated this way before. So I was like, oh my God. There was like an entourage came out to get me for service. And so they were really nice, super nice people, really nice people. But I'm walking in and they're escorting me. And they're going to take me into a green room or waiting room so I don't go out in the public. And it was so neat. You know, I was like, I was watching this. I was like, we don't do this at our church. This is a good. It's like the eagle has landed. You know, I'm walking down the hall. They're talking, and okay, Roger that. Okay, take him into the green room, and okay, and we will connect. And okay, all right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've got that covered. He's got everything he needs. Okay, thank you. I'm like, oh man, whew. This is a revival. My senses are excellency of ministry. That's what they call it, excellency. It's like, whoa. I'm sitting in there. Need anything? No, I don't need anything. Water? No. Any kind of anything? No, I'm good. And then I go out and God moved. I mean, he just moved. It was just really, really cool. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And I mean, like, I take a step and those guys take a step. Yeah. They, you know, take care of the man of God. It was really cool, though. So I get back in my S10 and come back to Immokalee. And Pastor Dave's in my office, because he's here two services, I guess, before me. And I've got a baptism of governments. And I'm feeling this. And I'm like, oh. And these guys weren't leading worship then, but it was like, it was on Sunday. It was, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was Sunday evening, or maybe he started. Maybe it was Sunday when I got back here. I can't remember. Anyway, it was one of the main services. Well, Dave's here, so it always packed out the place. Maybe it was on a midweek, but it was like time to start. And it was like 5 or 10 minutes past. And I was like fuming. I was like, oh my God, what is going on? What does Dave think? And somebody came in the office. I said, we're like, what's going on? I mean, why are we like 10 minutes past start time? I mean, what's like, and they, oh, Pastor, we'll get going right now. Okay. Thank you. Cause I got a big baptism of government. And Dave started laughing. I thought it was impressive. I thought it was going to impress. And he started laughing. He goes, I see you got a big baptism of governments, didn't you? And I realized he's not complimenting me. He's correcting me. I'm getting a correction. Because all he cared about was presence. It wasn't excellency of ministry. It wasn't starting on time. It wasn't having the best ACs. It wasn't anything outside. But it was a place that was building people from the inside and taking them to another level. Let's pass that prophecy out. I want to at least read that before we go home tonight. And if you're watching, you can go to our website under prophecies, and it's the prophecy from last Wednesday night. And I believe that's up. Is that up, honey? Okay, thank you. So what you'll find if you go to our website and locate the prophecy page, this was from August 30th, and I will intercept your tongues of edification with intercession. So let's just read this, or I'll read it, and we'll see what the Lord says here. So we were exhorting on this last week, and I wanted to get the scripture, because we do have scripture for people that says, I have to have scripture on this. We have scripture on this, on groanings and deep groanings. And we've got Greek on it. And we'll bring that out maybe next week. I will intercept your tongues of edification with intercession. Understand this, says the Spirit of grace, that the war that you're in for revival will not be won by flesh and blood. And it won't be even won by the common things that you know present tense. Although those things are good. But male and female, young and old, I'm asking you to at least avail yourself and open up your spirit for me to come and get you with authority that you've never experienced. For many, this will be a strange place. It is a private place, and it is a place born out of intimacy and extended hours and times praying the mysteries. But for me to revive that which I need from you in authority, I must be able to come and give you this realm of grace by which you're not able of your own self to move in. But for those who will offer their bodies a living sacrifice and spend the time giving themselves over to the tongue of edification, then know this. You'll be intercepted. I promise by my very own self, says the Spirit of grace, that I'll intercept you at times unknowingly, and I will slip you over into deep groanings where that you're able to turn things and that you're able to bring into effect the atmosphere that's necessary and conducive for this revival to take place, says the Spirit of grace. You cannot of your own self do this, but it'll take no less than this for me to harvest and bring about this outpouring, says the Spirit of grace. So I'm asking you to first to spend the hours in edification. But I'm asking you also to say yes with an awareness that there's even a higher realm of authority in intercession than what you know. So stay in that place and watch. Watch very diligently, like someone that's standing in a watchful place waiting for something to happen, and I'll slip you over. Your personal answers on this path, as well, your personal answers are on this path as well of authority. But I've got a greater vision than just the individual. I've got a corporate outpouring that I want to bring to this city and to this region and to other places, says the Spirit of grace. So, you can take that home and read it, of course. For some of you, and some of you watching, and some of you in here that have only been filled with the Spirit a few years, this may sound a little bit different, a little bit reaching to you. But it comes from no other place than what your normal kind of everyday praying in tongues. And so I can't tell you how important it is as you're working, as you're driving, as you're being a mama, as you're being a daddy, to give yourself over as much as possible to praying in other tongues, not demonstratively, but spending the time, because as you're spending the time, you are building yourself up. Now, what I've described is really a private kind of situation. You'll find, I think, in 6 months from now, if we had this same service, some of you would say, I think that happened to me. I think something like that happened to me. It might not have. See, when I tell a story about something and you look at it and you hear it, sometimes it's bigger to you than what it really needs to be. I don't try to expand it to make it exaggerative. But sometimes you think, I don't know that I could do that, or I don't know how that works. But you will. And it becomes very commonplace. Some of you have already experienced it. Some of you have experienced several times. And we'll talk more on this next week. And what we want to do is to get you acquainted with giving yourself over. But what we have to really say is to bring forward in this prophecy is that giving yourself over to say, Lord, I'm willing. I think when the most part, when deep groanings come on you, it's mainly for yourself, as in healings. If you've got some deep things there that needs to come up, then the Holy Spirit can heal you very quickly. Whereas a progressive walk of just meditation of the Word and praying in tongues on a grassroots level is going to change you. But it's as if you're in one place and then you go to another place. And to start with, a lot of any moments of that may be, you may be thinking, and this isn't strange science fiction, but you may be at times in worship and then feel yourself with an emotion that you're not trying to produce. You're not trying to produce it, but you feel it, and along with it comes tongues. At that time, when you give yourself over to those times, it may be just for a couple of minutes, but the Holy Spirit is working, extracting, placing things in there, because here's the thing. He's building you up for even something bigger. Because where he wants us to go to, here's the deal, what he wants us to do is stand in the gap for people. If we get healed enough, and I'm saying we're already healed in that we're born again, Spirit-filled, but the scripture we didn't get to is that the outward man dies daily. You know, he's dying, but the inward man is renewed. And that word renewed is renovation. It's the same thing that the Word talks about when he's changing us from glory to glory. But all of this that I'm explaining tonight and everything that he said is for a higher purpose. It's not that you're not a higher purpose, but you're kings and priests. Men and women, you're kings and priests. So what he's doing is he's trying to put together a group. We're not going to put you on a list and call you the inner circle, but God knows who you are. A group that will get free enough and just say, Lord, I'm available. Now, if you don't think that if you're available and willing to times to be slipped over into places of deep groaning in the Spirit, you're mistaken, because he'll come and use you. You won't feel weird. You won't be afraid, but you'll say, well, I think something happened here, and I don't think it was just for me this time. I think it's for the church. I think it's for the atmosphere. I think it brings, listen, and I'll close with this, but when we come in here on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and you guys are a great group listening, and all of you, and you think, Pastor really did good today. He was that was a really good service, and there was a really good presence. You know what? How that was, you know, I have a big part in it. I got to have a prayer life, and I've got to do my meditation, and I do fasting and prayer. I got to do that. But an atmosphere of presence where people are able to really concentrate and say, wow, there was a presence, that's prayed in. Those things are not just one man doing that. That's prayed in. An atmosphere is. So in this tongue of edification to deep groanings, we're pulling in, or we're praying in an atmosphere that's conducive for revival, that creates a place where people walk into this. And you got to know, now we could go back into some of the blueprint prophecies, but he said to us, in the days ahead, you'll know, and it's in a humble way. It's not like you're boastful. You'll know, the Lord will say, you prayed this in. There was some times of intercession. And I think the thing we have to conclude tonight, walk out of here, is saying, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. And many of you already have done this in your hearts. But to say, Lord, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, or if it's 5 o'clock, or whenever, if you know, I'll get up. And I don't know, I don't know why God sometimes will get people up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'll get up, and or Candy a lot of times, and get up, and then you pray for a while, and you come back to bed, and then you think, well, couldn't you have done this when I got up later today? I mean, why'd you get me up at that time? I don't know. I don't have all those. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I guess one day he'll tell me, or maybe he just wants me to not be concerned. But I'm telling you, we've got to prepare the ground where we can slip over into these places of authority. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I think somebody gave already up here, and there's one in the back. I think if you have something to give when you're leaving, thank you so much. And those of you watching online, thank you. Hallelujah. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, and that you're bringing us into places of understanding. And we thank you for it. We give you all the praise, Lord, and we just pray that you'll give us more and more on this and understanding. And Lord, mainly, let's just say this together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the baptism of praying in tongues, for the tongue of edification that will at times extend itself over to the deep groanings of the Spirit. I know I can't manufacture this, but I can prepare for it. And I'm saying to you, Father, that anytime you want to come and get me and use my authority to change things personally or corporately for the body of Christ, I am willing, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thanks for coming, and have a wonderful evening.